Hello, I'm Jason, and I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon. You should do the same, because the world just needs more GXG to make it a better place. Just go to genxgrownup.com/patreon to donate to the cause.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listeners, to this episode 124 of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me as always is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wouldn't be a show without Mo. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, John?
In this episode, we return to Hawkins, Indiana to check in on Will, 11, Hopper, and the Upside Down, review a company that specializes in ultra-high-end Star Wars lightsabers, and play a mobile adventure puzzle game where you must save the princess, but not the one you're probably thinking of. We'll have those topics and many more coming up in just a little bit. But first, it is time for our favorite part of the show, fourth listener email. Look, we know the three of us, we're ultimately going to listen to the show. If anybody else takes time to write in, we know somebody listened. This time around, our fourth listener is David, who dropped us a line. The subject of the email was Gen X autonomy.
Oh, yeah.
Referring to our backtrack from a few weeks back. Here's what David had to say. Loved your episode on Gen X childhood freedom.
Oh, cool.
That kind of childhood experience might be even more of a common bond for us than all the media we collectively consumed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too far off base there.
No, I see that.
Yep. Growing up in New York City, ooh, I had a similar experience to Mo, although I didn't look like Alfred E. Newman in a Star Wars costume. LOL, I kid.
Oh, he's from New York. Cool.
Yeah. My memories of riding my bike to a junkyard and building ramps out of scraps might be a highlight of those days. Did you do that kind of crap, Mo? Did you go to the junkyard? You were supposed to leave your block, were you?
Yeah, well, as I got older, I was actually allowed to step away from the house.
He was in New York. Isn't it all kind of a junkyard?
That's an excellent point.
But yeah, we did like build ramps out of crap.
You didn't have far to bike to go to the junkyard. Is that what George is saying?
Yeah. And they were all very structurally unsound.
Right. Yeah, every ramp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
David goes on to say, I don't think I'll be encouraging my kids to jump rusty junk, but your episode did remind me to loosen the parental leash just a bit and let them explore and learn on their own.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Cool. Keep up the fun podcast. Cheers, David.
Awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. Thank you, David. Any opportunity to razz Mo for his New York upbringing, us country boys, we'll jump at the opportunity. We appreciate that you took the time to write in. We love it every time one of our fourth listeners writes in. If you want your email featured here on the show, it is so easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one and most of them, just like David's, as evidenced by moments ago, eventually make it to the show. All right. With that good business behind us, let's jump into the meat of episode 124 right after this break. Stick around.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you around on PressBox Access.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
You thought Lipton cup of soup just made soup? Well, watch what this cream of chicken can do. Stir it into mashed potatoes, and you get delicious flavored potatoes. Mmm. Beat it with two eggs and a little milk for an easy omelet. Or make instant chicken gravy. Cooking with Cup of Soup means no chopping or measuring, because Cup of Soup's perfectly blended seasonings are all ready. Their recipe's on the box, more inside. And you thought Cup of Soup just made soup.
Well, let's get cooking right off the top here, talking about media that we have been checking out since the last time we spoke. Of course, it could be comics or books or music or television or film or whatever. And of all the things I was looking forward to the last time we spoke for the show, this was not on my radar. I talked about Obi-Wan. I talked about Stranger Things. We talked about all the cool stuff coming up. And then this little pseudo documentary thing on Netflix appeared on my radar called The G Word with Adam Conover.
Oh, is that the Ruins Everything guy?
It is, right? Yeah, Adam Ruins Everything. everything. Yeah. He came from College Humor, I think. Yep, Adam Conover, did. Right? Has kind of a pompadour. Yeah. And his bit with Adam Ruins Everything is he would take airport security is garbage, and he would explain, or weddings are garbage, right. Whatever it is, he would ruin it for you if it's something that you enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. George, I know you often accidentally discover crap on Netflix. Have you come across this one yet?
Only the picture in the trailer. I haven't watched it.
Only the title. Yep. The concept of this, the G word, is all about government. So what Adam Conover is doing here is he's taking facets of American government and digging deep into them. Now, you might think that it's all just a shit show and he's talking about how everything is broken. But interestingly, he looks at the big picture, then he zooms in, he talks to an individual person. Like, he talks about food. There's a whole episode about food. So he talks about the FDA and how it works what it does good, like prevents disease and that kind of thing. But then he talks to like a beef inspector, one person on the ground, and looks at their story. And he does one about weather, and he does one about NASA and future stuff and whatever. I couldn't stop it. I started watching it, and I just kept going and kept going, because each episode kind of leads into the next and tells this narrative almost.
Interesting. So in his previous show, you know, Adam Ruins Everything, he kind of had this like, it's sort of like a goofy, almost like a, oh, I'm just like filming my life and I'm just an annoying guy who knows too much kind of thing. I mean, is it similar kind of character? Does he play like a character in this, or is it more of an interview style?
He's definitely still Adam Conover. The really interesting conceit that made it cool for me, being a broadcast production nerd, is it kind of was you're along for the ride making this documentary. Like, he has assistants helping change clothes while he's talking, and he's going from scene to scene. But it's really interesting. Like, he talks about the GPS, global positioning system, and you learn stuff like, spoiler, you could learn this anytime. All of the North American, maybe global GPS stuff is handled by 10 guys in a little room in this little office. They're it. If those 10 guys don't come to work, we don't have GPS. and one of the guys running is like 20 years old.
Really?
It's amazing. These people on the ground getting stuff done. Now, he talks about fluff and fat and stuff that's garbage about it, and how people monopolize it. Yeah, all that stuff. But for a little documentary series, it was so quick and easy to watch. I think they're like 30, 35 minutes a piece. I know we've all kind of dug documentaries at different times. This was kind of tongue in cheek, but serious enough and interesting enough that it's a fun watch, because Adam Conover is entertaining. So
yes, absolutely. Cool.
Yeah. So that was one I really dug into. Like, a lot of stuff on my backlog now, because I spent time with that, with the G word, with Adam Conover on Netflix. I think it's worth a watch if you like that kind of thing. George, how about you? I'm curious to hear what you have been checking out.
So the thing I was supposed to check out was Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 1, which just got released the day that we are recording this.
Yep.
However, because somebody on our Discord channel, Marcus, at like 1:30 in the morning while I was on hold waiting to talk to Delta to help my wife get back into the country from the Philippines, he said, Obi-Wan, WTF. And I'm like, well, shit, now I got to go watch that. So I watched Obi-Wan instead.
So wait, what are we talking about today?
So we can still talk about Stranger Things. I left Obi-Wan off of my list because I thought John was going to talk about it, since it was his looking forward to. And then he switched up and went with G-Word with Adam Conover. So I'm like, well, damn it. Okay. So I got all twisted and combobulated. So they seem to have released, at least I have downloaded off the public domain, seven episodes for Stranger Things. I thought it was just going to be four or five, but it looks like I got seven. I don't know anything more than that about it at this point. I'm looking forward to taking some time out tonight or maybe tomorrow to watch all the episodes and see what I think. But as of right now, I'm hoping one of you two have had a chance to check it out.
I have not, actually. It's on my to-do for this weekend for sure.
I have not, actually. It's on my to-do for this weekend for sure.
Okay.
We're prepared. We could talk about Obi-Wan if we want instead. I know that one.
Well, I did watch the first episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi on Star Wars.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
I watched the first two of that one.
So should we switch gears here and just talk about that instead?
We'll postpone Stranger Things.
So, George, what you been watching?
So I watched Obi-Wan Kenobi over on Disney Plus.
Tell us more.
Honestly, I think they did a really great job with the first couple of episodes. I'm not going to say that I had a WTF moment like Marcus did, but I was really happy with how well they did the series, because this is not a Wako Taititi. What's that guy's name?
Taika Waititi.
It's not Waka, him Waka, or Waka. John. Waka, Waka. It's not him or Jon Favreau involved with this series. It's one of the first on Disney Plus that really hasn't had one of their hands in it.
At all? Like,
They're not producers. Really? They're not listed in any of the credits. Okay. I watched all the way through both episodes to check that. But they do seem to reuse all of the sets from Boba Fett, which makes sense. I mean, why not kill two birds with one stone? Build one set that can hold two episodes. I did really like that they brought back a lot of film clips and some of the actors from the prequels. I thought that was a nice touch. They could have just, you know, said to hell with this. Nobody likes it. We're not going to talk about it.
Just recast it or something.
They leaned into the history. They tried to help it make sense for this series going forward.
Yeah.
And in the first couple of episodes, it's mostly about Obi-Wan and his commitment to watching over Luke, as well as his, I'm going to say, depression from how things have happened after the prequels. All of the clones turning on the Jedi and killing them. That's one of the very first scenes in episode one is, you know, one of the temple raids being conducted by the troopers.
Yeah. And that was new, right? That's not
That was newly shot.
That's something we've heard about, but not seen. Yeah, that was something.
That was harsh.
Yeah, the only stuff that was from the movie was that whole, what they called the epilogue or backtrack or whatever they called it, the skip the intro part that you can usually do on streaming services. I thought, oh, they're going to tell, what are we skipping? This is episode one, but it was all the stuff from the film. But I went and watched it because it was good.
I did too. Yeah.
And then episode two, I don't want to spoil anything. You two guys have only watched episode one.
I haven't gotten
to
two yet.
Just on one.
Okay. So I can't remember. So was Luke the only Vader child in episode one? Did they show Leia at all?
No, we saw lots of Leia. We saw lots of Leia. Okay. Yep.
I get so confused between
precocious
the two.
Or something.
Yeah. Let me tell you, episode two, that's a little Hellcat.
Oh, cute as a
my
button,
God.
Too. What a
She's
cute little actress
cute
they've got to play
be.
Leia.
It's like there's a scene. I don't want to, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a scene where Obi-Wan, how old are you? She's like, I'm 10. He's like, no, you're not. Just the way she behaves and everything and the stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's so good. She may be the star of this series.
I really enjoyed the first episode because it was like, it was a little bit darker. You know, this is like the dark times, right? Obi-Wan's basically hiding the fact that he's a Jedi. He sees things going wrong around him. He can't do anything about it, you know, which is like killing him.
Stay under the radar. Yeah.
Yeah. And because he knows his thing is make sure Luke stays safe.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. It seems like you're adding a lot of depth to the story.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I watched a few things, interviews with Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, and every time I see them talk about it, they're so surprised to be revisiting these characters, not because there's anything wrong with the characters, but because of how initially poorly received the prequels trilogy was, and how over time people have warmed to it. I mean, they still have variable quality, but rather than being, garbage, people are kind of embracing it a bit. And that brought them back into not being soured on working in the franchise, and they've been welcomed with open arms. I saw a live fan thing just before they released it, and people were screaming their names, and they're just excited about it. And I was looking forward to it. I watched the first one, as I said, and it's what I wanted to see of an Obi-Wan. It's literally filling the gap between when I last saw Ewan McGregor playing him, we jumped 10 years, and it's ostensibly going to take me up into maybe when we get to A New Hope or something. I don't know. It looks interesting.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job of tying those together. I always disagreed, and Mo is the bigger Star Wars fan of the three of us than I am, but I'm trying to nip at his heels all the time. But I always enjoyed the prequels. I didn't hate them. Now, I admit there were some miscues and there were some missteps and some things that were obviously put in for financial gain reasons and stuff.
Marketing.
That's fine. If you don't have that in a Hollywood movie, it's not a Hollywood movie. That's just all there is to it. You can't do that in the modern age and get away with it. But I like the prequels. So this series is just making the prequel enjoyment that I already had when they first came out. It's just improving it, making it better.
I mean, I've resigned myself to the prequels are what they are. I mean, there's a lot of things in them I really did like, and there's a lot of things that I just like, what the hell were they thinking kind of stuff.
Right.
But it's like, okay, it happened. That's the story. We're picking up from here. And they could do a much better job. And so I'm looking forward to them doing a much better job. And so far they have been.
Well, you can't pick your history, right? This is the history of this story. Mm-hmm. It's official. It's there. Well, the first one came out in 98, 99. 99, whenever, something like that. I remember going to see it. I remember thinking in the back of my head, people are going to be hating this movie just because it can't possibly live up to what they want out of more Star Wars. And I think that was the initial impact. It was pre-internet, really, the proliferation of internet, certainly. And people sat in their little bubbles, yelled about it to themselves and hated it without taking the bigger picture, maybe.
Remember, it was right on the cusp of the internet because John, our favorite artist, he built an entire song around that first movie.
Just I know, off of stuff again, he gleaned based on from... rumors off of Usenet. I know.
Yeah.
it was early on. So yeah, I'm digging it too. Hey, you know what? Maybe next time we talk, we'll talk about Stranger Things.
Possibly. Maybe we'll see. Watch it by then.
What a deep, deep tease. We're teasing weeks ahead.
It depends on how many Discord things happen that distract me from what I'm supposed to do for the podcast.
We need Marcus to do like Stranger Things, WTF.
Right.
Then I'll watch it. George will watch it. How about you, Mo? What do you got? What are you watching for?
So actually, I don't want to talk about a specific show. Actually, Rotten Tomatoes, they do this list about this time of year where all the canceled and renewed shows. TV shows. And I'll throw a link into the show notes to it. But I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at this thing, but one, holy crap, there's a lot of TV shows out there. I'm going through this list. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, wait, I'm only up to J's. I'm like, holy, what the hell?
You know? Yeah, I didn't know there were that many shows in production to be canceled or not. Yeah.
And I was also surprised at how many shows have been just straight canceled. It's not as many as I thought. You know, the one Mr. Mayor got canceled, well, that one kind of bothered me a little bit.
Oh, you mean canceled versus ending? Is that what you're saying?
Versus ending. Like some shows, Ozark, had the last season, they ended.
Right. Better Call Saul is ending. Ozark's ending. Right,
exactly. Yeah. But then there's shows that are just like, okay, this show sucks, we're canceling it. There were shows on here, I'm like, they did a Kung Fu reboot?
Yes.
Did they?
Yeah. Really? Apparently.
It's in season 3. Idea. I've been watching it, yeah.
Got renewed.
Huh. Yeah, the biggest surprise to me on the list was Mr. Mayor. Although, you might could have seen the writing on the wall when the second season started and they introduced a whole bunch of new characters that weren't in the first one. It's like when you add a wedding or a baby to a series to invigorate it. Yeah, that was a shock.
I haven't scrolled down far enough on the list. What's the shock?
That Mr. Mayor got canceled?
It's canceled?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. See, you're just saying TV show names and not telling us what happened to it.
Oh, sorry. The shock is that it got canceled. Yeah, it's down. Yeah, as fun as that was.
I was looking through lists, like I said, and I'm just barely scrolling. Mo, you're right. This is an incredibly long
crazy,
list. It's ridiculous. I was sure that a TV show called The 4400 happened like 12 years ago.
I thought so too.
It did, but there's another one. They did it again.
They redid it?
This is a redo of the original?
It's another one. Yeah. I remember the 4400.
The original got canceled.
I know. Jesus Christ. Canceled after one season.
This milk is stale. Maybe it'll be fresh tomorrow.
I can do two seasons of a shitty show like 4400, but I can't get a second season of Firefly? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking Hollywood.
No respect.
Wounds run deep.
No respect.
Well, Barry got renewed. That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Batwoman got canceled. That doesn't surprise me because my Plex server shows the original Ruby, what's her name? Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose or something. Yeah.
She was the original Batwoman. And then I started looking at some thumbnails and there's a whole new Batwoman already, like in season 2 or so. Mm-hmm. So that got canceled.
Yeah. Space Force got canceled.
Right. Yeah. Space Force is gone.
We knew about that. I like that show.
I did too.
Yeah. So that one kind of bummed me out.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Picard is ending after season 3, but that's not going to come out till 2023 probably yet. So we know that's ending.
Oh, I just got scared. I saw a little YouTube video in the list for Cobra Kai. I'm like, y'all better not.
No.
Oh.
No.
Be storming January 6th style on that. They'll try and cancel.
And they talked that season 5 of Stranger Things is the end. They thought 4 was going to be the end, but now we have 5 yet to come. 4 just began, right? So
Yeah.
So after 5, it's going to cancel. And they talk about possible spinoffs too, I'd heard rumor.
Yeah, I heard rumors on that too.
Yeah. Mm. Killing Eve? Mo, isn't that one of yours?
Yeah, I like that show.
Yep. Gone.
Walking Dead, ending after the 11th season.
11 seasons.
Here. Yeah, that we've known.
What a run.
They're doing this last season in three 8-episode seasons.
Oh, that's a lot.
So it'll actually go until next year.
Really?
Yeah. Woohoo. I do see a good one on that we all like.
What's that?
Reacher, renewed for season 2.
Oh, nice.
Didn't they renew that like the day it was released?
I had such
good ratings. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, your Severance that you guys were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
That's been renewed.
Strange New Worlds obviously got renewed.
You're damn right it better get renewed.
Yeah, right. Ted Lasso
and Prodigy
renewed.
Did too.
Yep.
Nice. We could just go down this list. It'll take the whole podcast episode.
Yeah, I know, really. So folks listening, take a look at the link. It's a long ass list. And if there's any surprises on there or something that you are surprised got renewed, I'd be curious to hear what you had to say about that.
I might look down the list and look and see what was renewed and go, let's go see what this show is. Because I don't know, maybe no. 4/5 of the shows on this list even existed before today.
I think there had to be at least 200 or 300 shows on that list.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
It's massive.
Mm. All right. Well, I got to get back to reading this list. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break with some tech and toys.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
If you think beautiful skin is only something you're born with, get wind of new Sea Breeze Moisture Lotion.
Beautiful skin can be a breeze with Sea Breeze.
99% oil-free moisture absorbs right in.
Beautiful skin can be a breeze with Sea Breeze.
Sheer moisture that eases dryness. Let skin breathe.
Beautiful skin can be a breeze.
Soft.
With Sea Breeze.
So in the last Tech and Toys, George kind of teased that he had another, like, was it another site tool kind of thing for us?
Yeah, like a desktop experience enhancer, I right. guess.
Ooh.
And you saying, nice. Oh, should I do that next time? And me and John were like, hell yeah. So
it was that or something awful happening with a Quest 2 at Beat Saber. And we said, yes. No, we don't want to hear about that.
No. Let's do this. So George, what do you got for us?
Yeah. So it's a tool called Mercury Reader. It's a plugin for your browser. All Chromium browsers work with this. So Chrome, obviously, Firefox, Vivaldi, Edge, anything that's built on the Chromium platform. You just go to the Chrome Web Store, type in Mercury Reader, and it's free. Now, the thing that I like about this is it doesn't automatically do what it needs to do to the web page that you're viewing. You have to click it in order to get it to activate. So it's not like a auto, I'm going to redo your whole browsing experience thing. So you can have it installed and it won't activate until you click the icon in your browser.
Okay. Yeah, so non-invasive.
So I like that feature for this. The reason why I like that feature for this is because what this Mercury Reader does is it takes and strips out all the crap of whatever it is you're trying to read and gives you just the text formatted neatly. That's it. So any pictures that are in the article, any links, any pop-ups, any ads, all that stuff, gone. And all you get is the text. So if you're trying to go to NewYorkTimes.com and read one of their articles and they got 50 million little ads popping up all over the place that get in the way and the little, please accept our cookies. We're so desperate for you to eat our cookies, whatever kind of crap that pops up. All you have to do is after you have this installed in the plugins, go up to your browser bar and it looks like a little rocket ship is the icon, which I think is kind of cute. And you click that little icon and boom, your web page is reformatted. All you get is the text and it's easy to read. You can read your article without distraction and move on with your day.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So there is a type of garbagey article, and I'm wondering if this approaches it or not. And you have used it, so you would know. You know the articles where you get to read about like two paragraphs, and you have to click a next to load the next page and read two paragraphs.
I hate those
things. Does this address that at all? Or
it absolutely does.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Downloading now.
Yeah, I'm downloading this sucker.
Absolutely. Now, I can't say it works on every single one because obviously every web page is designed differently. But the ones that I've tested out on, the ones where it says pay $1.99 to read the rest of this article, screw that. Let me hit my little rocket. Now I'm reading the whole thing. The only thing that I would suggest that it probably is not good for are any shopping sites that you might go to.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right. So if you go to any shopping sites that also have little ads popping up all over the place or something, you're just tired of those. I did that on maybe it was walmart.com or something like that. I was like, I don't want to see all this crap. Let me hit my rocket ship. So I hit my little rocket ship, and all of a sudden, all I had was the description of the item. That was it. I couldn't buy it.
I could see that. Yeah.
It stripped all of that out. So I was like, well, that doesn't work.
It probably breaks like buttons to click to add it to a cart and all kinds of stuff and links. It probably just is giving you raw text.
Nothing was there. It was literally just the description of the item.
Yeah. Well, you're at walmart.com to buy crap anyway. So
yeah.
Advertise to me, please.
Well, that was the thing. I think I clicked it because whichever shopping website it was, they had their cookie banner thing. I'm like, I don't want to accept your cookies. Click. Oh, now I can't buy your item. I guess I better go back and look at your cookies.
I suddenly want cookies.
It's one of those desktop enhancement tools that makes browsing and reading and surfing the internet a little bit cleaner and maybe a little bit less frustrating if you hate all those pop-ups and blurbs and stuff like
which I do.
So good little tech toy. Hope you enjoyed it. But Mo has what I think may be the star of the segment, which is unusual for Mo because he usually doesn't have shit for his own segment.
True. Usually my own segment, I usually don't have a damn thing to talk about.
Burnt out star, usually. Yeah.
So I went to MegaCon and I was able to get in, miraculously enough. Mm-hmm. And so I bought, I guess it was the last time I went to MegaCon, it was like 4 years ago, like the last time they had one. They had a company there that it's called Ultra Saber. I don't know if you guys heard of them, but they always have a huge booth at MegCon or most of these shows where they sell like these super high quality replica lightsabers. Now these things aren't cheap. Like if you want one that just lights up, it's costs you $7,500.
Okay,
but with that though, you can actually hit stuff with this, and that's how sturdy it is. Like you actually can't hit things with it.
Oh, they're the ones that they actually the people do the battles with and stuff sometimes. Okay.
So I got one. It just lights up. It's blue. It's cool. You know, it's fun to play with. I was there to this show. And I was looking. I was like, they had those freaking mystery box things, right?
Mystery box at a high-end lightsaber place?
Well, get this one. So it was $200.
A $200 mystery box?
They guaranteed that the value of what you get would be over $200, but it could be anywhere from $250 to $400. Like, and where some of these can get that expensive.
I don't make enough to make that kind of a bet.
Right? So like somebody's liquidating their high-end merchandise that nobody wanted to buy.
Yeah, well, I bought one.
Okay. Well, there we go.
And it comes with like a sound chip in it, so as you're moving it, it makes the whoo sounds,
right?
Oh, it makes it for you. You don't have to
make it for you. It makes a sound when you power it up. It makes the lightsaber sound powering it up. Actually, hold up, I think I got it here.
Oh
I don't know if you guys can hear this or not. Here, you guys can see this, right? Let's see if this
I heard the shit out of that. Yes. Wow.
And you can actually hit stuff and it makes yeah, there's the speaker comes up the bottom. You see? So.
Oh, that's cool.
It sounds like John's cat purring right before it attacks you.
You see, when you turn it off, it makes the sound. It makes a shut off sound. So anyway, I paid for this mystery box, got this thing. It is freaking cool, I have to tell you. They had lines of people buying saber. It was ridiculous.
So you're telling me you ended up buying two lightsabers. You bought one and then you bought a mystery box one also?
Well, a long time ago. No, I bought one like 6 years ago.
A long time ago. Okay.
No, I didn't buy two this time. I only bought one.
Okay. I wouldn't put it past you.
That's true. And my daughter got one too, and hers is very cool. You know, she was able to get the colored blade she wanted because they have like, and you see that they're super bright. You see, even inside the lit room, you could see the blade color and stuff.
Right.
The sounds are cool. Like when you hit things, even like you can hit the button once and it makes like the sound, like if you're like touching lightsabers, you know, it makes that crackle sound. You can make that sound kind of thing. So they're super, super well made. They like lifetime warranties on these things. They were basically putting them together there. Like you can actually customize. You can buy, I want that handle with this color blade with these effects. They say, okay, come back in a couple hours and they would have it built for you.
Well, I got news for you. Right now, they're having a sale on their website. Figured. The Summer Soundwave sale is here. 15% off any custom lightsaber when you equip it with sound.
Okay. Well, you put a couple options on there. You'll see how fast these things go up in price.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh. Do tell. What did you see?
So you guys remember a while back, I went to the Star Wars land at Universal Studios. And my son, oh God, the live chat is trying to talk me into buying a lightsaber. Hold on. All right, we got to stop.
Close that.
They're trying. Like, do you need any help with your purchase, sir? No, I do not.
I need some money, please.
Yeah, right. So when we went there, you know, my son got a lightsaber. That was one of the things he wanted. And I got an R2 unit. He wanted to go back. We had already left. He wanted to go back the next day and get the darksaber.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Well, turns out they sell the Darksaber on this website. Damn it, they're beeping at me now. What are they trying to get me to say? There's another new message. Thanks for shopping with all. I haven't bought anything. Jesus.
They're polite.
Well, they're not on the
Come
website.
Come with us. One of us. One of us. Yeah.
But you say, I mean, they have just a huge variety of like handles, different colors and styles and
sure.
everything. So you could customize the crap out of this thing.
I can see what I'm going to have to buy my son for his birthday now.
You're a good papa.
The mystery box, like I said, I mean, I didn't see anybody who got one that was unhappy with what they got. You know, because mm-hmm. you did get something that was like, I mean, it was probably like $240, $250, worst case, you know, that you would right. pay if you did
if
yourself.
If I got one that didn't have sound, I would be unhappy. As long as it had sound in the mystery box,
if for $200,
okay.
you're guaranteed sound.
Okay.
Yeah, the $200, they actually had two mystery boxes. One was $75, where you just get without sound.
Okay.
With a chance that you could get sound, but mm-hmm. the odds are you wouldn't, but you get a basic yeah. one, or 200 where you're guaranteed to get the sound chip.
But before we get out of talking about MegaCon, and we now know you spent $200 on a mystery box, I just need mm-hmm. to know, how much money did you spend at MegaCon?
Shit, dude.
You didn't pop for that $100 autograph I wanted, did you?
No, I did get a picture with him, though.
Damn it!
You could Photoshop your face in, George, like you were there.
I haven't added up yet, but I definitely spent...
Under a grand? Over a grand?
It was less than a grand, but not much.
But not
and
much.
Now, how long were you there?
2 days.
$500 a day, roughly?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy stuff we... Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
So are we going to talk about John's adventure at all, or are we going to just skip that and move on?
We can.
You know,
I mean, John opened up the floor by asking about MegaCon, so.
I can tell a very, very brief version of my MegaCon adventure, which is, does not include buying a lightsaber or even going to MegaCon. Well... Mo was so excited about going to MegaCon, and I had no intention of going because I'm not big on celebrities, and that's a big part of it, but I know they have a huge vendor room and shopping and stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm like, the day before, I said, if they still have one-day tickets, maybe I'll go and drive down Saturday. It's like 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes to get there from where I'm at, and I'll wear my GXG jersey, and I'll take a backpack that has some stickers and stuff in it, and network, and see some people, and look at some cool stuff. Sounded great. They're open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. I'm going to get up at 8. I'm going to leave by 9. I'll get down there by about 11, 11:30. And I'll have, you know, 5-6 hours to walk around the show floor. So make this as short as I can as an adventure that was not brief at all. When I got about 2 miles from the Orange County Civic Center for MegaCon, I saw backup of traffic. I'm like, what is all this for? What's going on? And then I got about 1.5 miles from there and I realized they're all for the exit. And then I got to look at my GPS, 1.2 miles away, and it was standstill. I got into traffic. I was the asshole that cut into the line after I realized I've been driving 1 mile past it. I pulled in to get from 1.2 miles away to 1.1 miles away. 45 minutes. This was
a tenth of a mile.
This is not a traffic jam. This is gridlock.
Yeah.
I could have pushed my car faster than I was driving it.
That's 45 hours per mile.
It's backwards, I know.
I feel horrible, man.
I'm messaging Mo. I'm like, dude, I'm about 20 minutes away.
I'm like, oh, cool.
Dude, it's about 20 minutes away now. It says 1.5 miles. It's really jammed up. And then 1 hour later, I'm like, I just hit 1.0 miles. Away. I'm so excited. Ultimately, I sat in traffic for what was about 2.5 hours. Just in, no, not my drive there. It was 2 hours to get there. The remaining 10 minutes took about 2.5 hours normally.
Wow.
And then I was talking with a friend of mine who's from the area, and he said, I'm leaving, because it wasn't just a matter of parking lot was full, which it was, because they oversold. It was a matter of, if you wanted to look for a parking place, it was absolute mayhem gridlock all the way around it. Like, you see 1 mile away, maybe I could park at that hotel, it's going to take you 2 hours to get to that hotel because traffic was not moving.
And they may not have parking anyway when you get there.
I left at 9. By about 3, I determined, well, I'm not going to MegaCon. I got in the other lane, U-turned, got back in the interstate, came back home, bought a ticket. I've requested a refund, but they know they have oversold. Oh, they know this situation. Who knows what's going to happen? But right now I'm out the gas money a day and $62 for a one-day ticket without going on, setting foot on the floor.
Part of me wonders, I've been thinking about it since we talked about this when it first happened. I wonder if MegaCon maybe didn't do this on purpose, because think about the news and the Instagram posts and the YouTube videos and everything else that got generated from this big catastrophe that they caused. this will make them look like
the go-to place,
like the go-to place on the East Coast compared to the West Coast giant conventions, right? Maybe,
yeah,
because they're arguably 10 times the amount of people who didn't go that versus tried to go. Those people are going to be more enticed now because this thing is now this megalithic event that generates so much interest that you can't even get off the interstate.
You know, I wouldn't put it past a promoter to oversell, to create a sense of elite. Did you get in? You know, was it kind of thing?
Exclusivity.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I can't imagine they planned this kind of bedlam, though.
It was pretty bad.
Like, I'm sure they didn't expect thousands of people to not be able to get in the building because it was just too full. You couldn't park, you couldn't move, you couldn't get off the interstate. That's not good. Maybe, I'm sure they might have planned, let's oversell it. They sure they didn't plan, let's get thousands of people pissed off and can't go to the show, because that doesn't do a lot for it. You had to make me tell that story.
Okay.
Now I'm angry again.
You open the floor, sir. It's like on cross-examination.
On the brighter side, John, what do you have for us for a Tekken toy?
Oh, okay. That is, you know, that's a fantastic transition, because on the flip side, I spent about $60 on something else. It's a tech toy that I did receive. I did get to play with. Being content creators, one thing used quite a bit, and not just us anymore, everybody that works from home anymore, a webcam is a big deal. It's you need it to be able to communicate with Zoom or Teams or whatever you use. We use a webcam all the time when we record the podcast. We see each other so we can point at each other and laugh and make funny faces. And we use it when you do live streams, right? You have a live stream and you want to be able to, you know, have your face in the corner or wherever it is. Or what I found that my webcam was an old, like, Logitech decent webcam, and it worked okay. But if everyone to take it full screen, it just looks so soft and so grainy, like you're looking through mesh. So I went shopping around for a great webcam that had some really good reviews, and I ended up with the company we all know as being a high-end gaming company, Razer. Mm-hmm. They made this webcam called the Kiyo Pro, K-I-Y-O, Kiyo Pro.
Okay.
The things that attracted me to it, I saw good reviews. I saw, you go to YouTube, and of course, people, the nice thing is they shoot videos with it and say, I'm shooting this with this camera. It has a really high sensitive optics on it for really crisp video. At 30 frames per second, 1080p, it can even do HDR, high dynamic range. So there's really rich blacks and really bright, crisp highs without them getting clipped. Or you can do 60p without the HDR. And in fact, I'm using it right now. When I hopped on the call, I think Mo said, wow, you're using a new camera, aren't you? It looks a lot sharper. It looks a lot cleaner. It's just a nice piece of gear. There's nothing whiz-bang about it. They run for about $90, $100 these days. Mm-hmm. I bought one that was used-ish, you know, open box kind of thing. It was $67.
Oh, okay.
I was going to be asking about that because I went straight to the link as soon as
we started talking about it. Yeah, $100 on there. Yeah,
well, it's $100, but that's 50% off of their suggested retail price. Their suggested retail price is $199.
Yeah, right. The other thing about this is a newer model. So to tell you how much better the optics are in the Kiyo Pro versus the original Razer Kiyo, the original Razer Kiyo came with a ring light baked into it. So on the camera, there was one of those cool ring lights that you have, right? So it's USB charged. This one doesn't have that. It doesn't have that because the optics are much better at handling dark situations where you don't always have to have that fill light all the time. So they shouldn't even include it because it looks great in the dark. Not in the dark, but you don't have to be blooming with 80 lights around you to have a decent picture. So if you're looking for a good webcam, so far I've had this one for about a week and I've used it 4 or 5 times. I've had more than one person tell me, get a new camera. It looks really good. It looks really sharp.
Yeah, the colors look much better.
Does look nice, looks clean, has a real good interface, a piece of software you can go in and tune. They have presets for warm or cool, the HDR on off, all that cool stuff, as you might imagine. So as of everything, Mo, I will throw a link down to you, throw in the show notes if you would, for anybody interested. And yeah, I don't know if I'd pay the $200 for it, but even a crappy webcam costs $50-$60 these days.
Oh yeah.
So for another, you know, $20-$30, you might get a really, really good one. And that's what
I did.
But
for $100 for a decent one?
Not terrible.
Not terrible.
I'm very pleased with it. I would have paid the full $100 knowing now what I do about the quality.
Nice.
Really good.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Welcome to Timex Quartz. incredible technology. Our new Timex Elite is the thinnest quartz calendar watch in the world. Our new solid-state watch has no moving parts. These are microchip-projected hands. Now, bring the value of Timex quartz into your world.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
All right, gentlemen, time to talk about games. We've all been stressed out from MegaCon, and we bought these crazy-ass lightsabers that we want to bash each other over the head with. I think it's time to release a little steam, so I'm going to start by continuing down my Dungeons & Dragons Odyssey. So,
cool.
You guys know that I got to sit in now for a couple of sessions with a gentleman from our Discord server. Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for letting me jump into your group. Discord server is at genxgrownup.com/Discord because we always want to hype that up a little bit because there's so many good people out there helping you out whenever you have questions I did about Dungeons & Dragons. It's been 40 years since I really played Dungeons & Dragons seriously, and I wanted to get back into it. One of the things that he shared with me is a webpage called D&D Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
Have either of you two, Mo's saying, oh, yeah, so it sounds like he's been to it.
Mo's an oh, yeah, I'm an oh, no. So
so D&D Beyond does a lot of different things to help a person not only get back into Dungeons & Dragons by providing resources and materials and things of that nature, but also to actively play the game in the middle of a campaign. So you can create your characters directly on this website after you create your free login. With a free login, I think it's you get 4 characters for free or something like
that.
If you have their paid subscription plan, then you can have unlimited amount of characters. And these characters are all built around the 5th edition rules, 5e, I think that's what they call it.
Yep.
And so you have to be wanting to play 5th edition because that's what this website is built around. They also provide all of the manuals and things like that. So you can get some of them for free. Oh, like there's a basic one that you can read, which is nice. But then there are also other ones that you can purchase individually. And they're much cheaper than buying the hardcover books. So if you don't mind not having the hardcover book, you can purchase it on their website. I think they're like $20 versus $35 or $36 for the hardcovers if you buy them like on Amazon even. If you go to your local RPG shop, they could be as high as $50-$60 a piece because of the markups.
Sure. Yep.
Not only can you buy those types of manuals, the player manual, the monster manual, the dungeon master's guide, you can also buy the different books and stories for individual Dungeons & Dragons quests.
Yeah, the modules.
The modules, right.
I was about to ask, do they still call those modules like they did in the 80s when I used to play?
You can buy those there. If you want to, you can also create a campaign, meaning you can start a game. You can then have your friends log in, create their own D&D Beyond accounts. They can join your campaign, and anything that you've purchased, you can share it with them for free. So they don't have to buy it. So they can take a look at the module. They can take a look at the player's guide, whatever it is that they might need. They can create their own characters. The other part of it outside of that, and I'm just rambling on and on and on because I keep thinking of new things to talk about. After you've created your character sheet and after you've created a campaign and after you have had people join the campaign, if you're the dungeon master and you're saying, oh, we're walking down a hallway and there's a weird, creepy corridor off to the side. And the guy says, well, I want to look down that corridor. And you tell him, OK, make an investigation throw. Well, in D&D, that means roll your dice, right? And whatever modifiers you have, and you tell the dungeon master what score you got, and then he tells you what happened based on that score, right? Well, with D&D Beyond, you click a button, like the button for your investigation modifier, and it rolls the dice for you automatically. So your dungeon master gets to see what you rolled. Everybody else gets to see what you rolled. So you can play this online. You can set up a little Discord server like the guy who let me sit in on his group's Dungeons & Dragons. While you're in your Discord server, everybody's talking, you use cameras, whatever you like. At the same time, everybody's logged into D&D Beyond, using their characters, using spells, getting hit points taken up, all that stuff.
So just hearing you talk about it, it sounds like you have a favorable opinion of it so far, because you weren't upset about it. It sounds like you had a good experience. Is that fair?
Yeah, so far. Yeah. I mean, I haven't gone down the route of having to buy a bunch of stuff yet because fortunately the people on our Discord server have shared things with me.
You're working with someone that already has it.
Yeah. So I can read the stuff as I like.
This sounds like, this is going to sound crude, but it's all I can think of. This is like Dungeons and Dragons online lubricant. It's like all the friction points. You know what I'm saying? Like all the stuff that would make it difficult to play remotely, they're greasing those wheels. So you're talking about roll the dice and tell you what you got, or look at the corner, what map do you see? It's getting rid of all the remote roadblocks and making it easier to have the experience again. That's kind of how it sounds. Is that fair?
It certainly does a large part of the heavy lifting. No question. Cool. Now, you mentioned the word maps there. It doesn't display maps for your dungeon. Okay. There's other services that do that that can be used in conjunction. And what the team that I'm watching, what they do is they have one browser on one monitor that has their D&D Beyond, and the other browser has the dungeon website that they log into. But they all work interactively. So the module that you might have in D&D Beyond that you're playing in your campaign, this other mapping website has all those modules.
Oh, okay. So this would be one of a suite of tools you would use to play online. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of the engine, and the other things you kind of bolt on to help you out with it.
Exactly.
Neat. Yeah. D&D Beyond.
Yeah, I actually used it. I played with my daughter and I used it to create my character. And then when you join a campaign, the Dungeon Master has access to your character sheet so he could see what your stats are. And it's actually pretty cool. I think a lot of the serious players out there, I think it's pretty much like their go-to for looking up rules or, you know, and the nice thing, like you said, like if your Dungeon Master has access to it, that means you have access to it.
Yeah,
exactly. Which is pretty cool too. So it's not like he has a set of rules and you don't get to see them.
That's that lubricant I was talking about. You're like, you buy it and you buy it and you buy it. Well, somebody buys it and then your group gets access. That makes a lot of sense. That's nice.
And I think the last thing I'll say about it, just to know how pervasive it is, whenever I saw this, I thought, oh, I wonder if there is a Shadowrun version of this, because I love Shadowrun. Mm-hmm. It's another role-playing game from that period of time that, you know, not a lot of people play that much, but I thought, well, maybe there. So I typed in D&D Beyond Shadowrun, and there's like all kinds of Reddit forums on there for all the different RPGs that are out there, and they all compare the question to D&D Beyond. Is there a D&D Beyond for Shadowrun? Is there a D&D Beyond for Traveler? Is there a D&D Beyond for...
So that's so the gold standard.
Yeah.
I see. Wow. So, you found a winner right off the bat. Yeah, or you were introduced to a winner by people that had figured it out for us.
Exactly.
Cool.
And that's what I love about our Discord server. I don't know this stuff, but somebody does. So I just ask and they tell me.
That worked out.
Speaking of asking, I would like to ask John what he is playing right now.
Ah, well, get ready. I'm giving you another mobile game addiction. So stand by.
Yeah. Oh, crap.
Let me get my phone out.
I never know how I found this. It might have been an ad or something popped up, but often I'll just search the App Store and look for, you know, 4.8, 4.9 score games, because let the ratings figure out what's decent. So I came across one that jumped out at me. This is the dungeon themed game segment. It's called IQ Dungeon.
Okay.
So IQ implying there's a puzzle element too. And the dungeon is the way that these puzzles in this puzzly IQ adventure game are laid out. So the way it works is there's an overarching story that you are trying to advance through. You need to save the princess. Da da da, like every other, you know, adventure dungeony thing you ever seen. What you're presented with at the beginning of every level is, here is a screen and an objective. Get to the door. Kill the monsters. Defeat this. Find the king. You know, do something on this screen. Stop the water from flooding in and drowning you, whatever. But then it's like, what are the controls? We're not going to tell you. You need to figure out how to use your device to solve the problem. So you're like, oh, well, you start clicking on things with your finger. You're like, oh, look, I found a coin under this grass. Oh, good. You can afford to buy the sword. Great. Next level. To give you an example of how you outside the box thinking, there's one where you need to drop a boulder on some orcs down below. And you roll the boulder and you move it with your finger and nothing happens. You need to tilt your phone to make the boulder roll down and crush the orcs.
That's pretty cool.
Every sensor. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So I think I have some out of the box thinking too. Every time they tell me, you have to figure out the controls to use the device to solve this problem. No problem. Mm-hmm. X button. Yep. App's turned off. I win.
So you don't enjoy that kind of problem solving is what you're telling me.
I do. But I need a little bit of help sometimes. I mean, not even telling you the controls and everything. I guess it might be fun. I'll give it a try, but it seems like it might be very frustrating too.
If they told you the controls, that's the puzzle, is figuring out the control. There's nothing difficult. Like, you can see the door and how do I get to it? So I'm going to spoil a couple of puzzles to give you an idea. For example, I need to get to this exit to a cave. This is one screen. What should I do? Like, well, you walk out there and the ogre hits you with his club, right? Like, well, try again, hit you with a club. Turns out you need to cover the ogre's eyes with one finger and then walk your guy out.
Oh, geez.
Because you're covering his eyes. There's one where you have to wake somebody up and you mess with them and click on them and pinch and zoom. No, shake the phone. That wakes them awake.
Oh, good Lord.
Great clue system, by the way. So if you're stumped, you click on a thing and you get a clue and it says, you should kind of try this, or have you tried pinching?
Okay, so at least there's some clues.
Okay.
There are. And there is a progression. Like, I finished the first chapter and I found the princess, but of course something happened and she was taken off again. So there's a long kind of story arc going on. And this is one of those where we've talked about before, puzzle games where it's frustrating, it's frustrating, it's frustrating. But when you figure it out, you feel like a genius. You're like, ha, I beat the thing. You figured it out. It's that kind of cool gratification thing. You can earn more coins to unlock more clues by watching ads, as you might imagine. I enjoyed it so much that I paid what I think was about $4.99 to unlock the game 100%.
Okay, it's the upper edge of the...
It is the upper end. No more ads, unlimited clues. But still, it's tempting to look at the clues. It's more fun to figure out how to solve them. It's available on iOS and Android, of course. You can get both of those. I'll give you both of those links if you throw those in the show notes, Mo. And even the free one. Give it a shot if you like that kind of what the hell am I supposed to be doing puzzle. Those could be gratifying. So I dug it and I'm still playing it.
Yeah, I'm stuck in the second one already.
George closed it, so he doesn't have that problem.
Shake
so
it.
Give
it
a shake. I tried shaking it. It didn't do anything. All right, I'll figure it out.
All right. Cool. All right, Mo, shut off your phone. What have you been playing?
All right. I'm actually going to talk about a game that I actually talked about in the show 2 years ago, I think it was. It was a game called Shipbreaker. Yep. It's a PC game.
The salvage thing that you maliciously bought for me to suck up my free time. I remember.
Yes. I bought it when it was beta just because the idea of it, just attracted me. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the future. Space travel's all over the place. And of course, with all this space travel, there's a lot of obsolete old spaceships that need to be tore down and recycled, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the whole game is from a first-person perspective. You fly around the shipyard, you pick a ship, and your job is to tear it down so there's absolutely nothing left. Mm-hmm. And how efficient you are with it, you get a certain amount of money and all this stuff. So after 2 years, it's finally out of beta. It's officially released now. Okay. You can actually go and get the official 1.01 version, because mm-hmm. it was 0. something forever. And so what happened was that back in December, I think it was, they announced that, hey, we're going to have the final full release coming out soon. There is going to be a progression reset that you basically start over, which your beta, they said right up front that, look, you know, that's a possibility. Just be ready for it.
Yeah, it can sting, but you were warned, I guess.
Yeah. And so basically, I stopped playing. Because I'm like, well, I might as well wait until it resets and then I'll start again. And let me tell you, it came out, I guess, from recording this a couple days ago. And I went right back into it, started over, didn't even mind starting over. The tutorials were a good reminder how to play the stupid game again, because I had forgotten a lot of this stuff. But they added all these different layers. Like, there's this whole story now that you get between breaking down ships.
That wasn't in the beta at all, was it?
They did a little bit of it, but now they've fleshed out the whole, there's like a whole backstory now story that goes on that, you know, you talk to the other shipbreakers during your breaks, and they're trying to form a union, actually, because they're so, you know, the company is so abusive to you. Right. And then they send some guy to Union Buster, and you're not doing anything. You're just reading the story. But still, it's interesting. And how you get the atmosphere of the places, and when you go to these ships, you can find these like logs from that people left, and you can read them. And some of them are history. Some of them are personal letters. Some of them are all, you know, but they all kind of add like a nice atmosphere to the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Texture to the what you're doing in the world. I got you. Yeah.
And there's even like get these ships that have been infected with some alien thing that you have to deal with. I mean, there's all these little twists to kind of make it more interesting. The thing they added, which was the number one most requested thing, is that you can save a ship in the middle and come back to it later.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they're being forced to finish
the original game. You could not do that. You had to finish the entire ship or abandon it. Those are your two choices. And it limited how big the ships could get, because a really huge ship could take you an hour and change to do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think if they wanted to do even bigger ships, they knew that people just couldn't do that in one sitting.
Yeah. Well, so you've played this for almost 2 years now and got back into it and still enjoyed it. As I recall, the beta was only like $20 at the time. Yeah. Is that, if somebody doesn't have it, do you know how much does it cost now to pick up now that it's fully released?
If you get it right now, they're running a promotion that it's $26.
Okay. Huh. What's it marked down from?
From $35 or $34.99.
Okay. Well, it's a fun game. It's fair. Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, I got my Corey's Plus out of this thing already.
For 2 years, you've been playing it on $20.
Yeah, for 2 years, I've been playing this game. They spent the last 6 months or whatever wisely. I mean, the game is super solid. It's super clean. No weird little glitchy things. They really fixed it and made it a clean game. So I really like it. It's like painting. It's something mindless that you feel a sense of accomplishment when you're done, which I get little of that in my life. So I think it's a great game. So if anyone's interested, yeah, absolutely check it out.
All right. I might even get back into it now that it's full. Cool. Yep. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking Join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at GenXGrownUp.com/Patreon.
Why not start their morning in a warm way? Smooth.
Feel better when he eats a warm breakfast. And Quaker's flavors make it easy.
With instant Quaker oatmeal, you can really make their morning.
Before we wrap up episode 124, I'd like to take just a moment here toward the end to talk about the things we're looking at now or looking forward to between now and the next time we have a chance to get together. George, why don't we start with you? What do you have on the horizon?
So a couple of favorite series of ours are coming back into season three. The Orville season three, John, is starting on June 2nd.
Oh, wow. It's coming again.
The day that this releases.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And Mo, one of yours, For All Mankind, season three.
Oh, I didn't know that was even coming back.
Out the next week on June 10th on Apple TV.
Oh, awesome. I love that show.
A lot of fun TV to come up during the waning days of school and the beginning days of summer. But the thing I'm most looking forward to is something that starts 2 days after this episode drops, and that is Infinity Con Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah.
June 4th and 5th. Gen X Grown Up will be there doing a couple of panels. I'll be actually running the panels for the convention, so that'll be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of interesting stuff. There is a Gamageddon area that'll have everything from arcade and pinballs to tabletop games with library checkout status and play to win stuff, which will be a lot of fun. There's even going to be a BattleBots arena competition, which should be a blast. They're going to have smaller bots. These are 1 pound and 3 pound bots. So the interesting thing about these is it's a smaller arena, but apparently these things travel so fast, it's almost hard to keep your eye on them. So that'll be fun. And there's going to be, of course, the Super Smash Brothers tournament.
That'll be the
big draw for the convention.
That was huge last time.
Yeah.
I was unprepared for how big that was.
Last year, the live stream live viewers at one time reached over 200,000. So, big event.
Who knew?
Of course, there's going to be vendors. There's a kids area. There's a place, Mo Anime Island, that you and your daughter might enjoy. They're going to have a maid cafe over there. Some voiceover artists. It ought to be a lot of fun. So Gen X Grown Up will be in the Hall of Heroes, appropriately enough, doing our panels. So looking forward to it. Artists, vendors, the games, everything that you would want at a nerd convention will be there. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Convention season.
I can't spend any more money, though. I will, but I really can't.
Fortunately, you got a little bit of a hookup since I'm helping out running the convention. What are you looking forward to, Mo?
So, yeah, a couple things. Like, one is I've been redoing my office/studio, so definitely looking forward to finishing that up and the rest of the house. InfinityCon, of course, like you just brought up, that I'm really looking forward to that one after a couple of years. And a couple of movies, actually. Maverick, which is now out at the time we're recording this. So I definitely want to go see that. Mm-hmm. And also the couple of weeks, Thor, Love and Thunder. Mm. I saw the last trailer for it. It looks funny. Taika Waititi. Is that, am I saying that right?
No, but that's
Waka,
okay.
Waititi, Taco, I don't know. Whatever his name Waka, is. Waka, he's Waka, cool.
Yeah, George, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, he's directing it. He wrote it. I mean, so I think at minimum it's going to be funny.
It looks like it. Yeah.
Trailer looks like it's going to be really cool. So that's definitely looking forward to seeing that.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's what I'm about. How about you, John? Are you going to be Stranger Things or something else?
Well, so there's so much stuff on TV now. So we talked about Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I watch each episode about four times. And then Kenobi just started. And then Stranger Things 4 just started. All this streaming stuff. So appropriately enough, on top of all that, there's a brand new South Park special called South Park The Streaming Wars. June 1st on Paramount Plus. What it's got to do with streaming, I don't know. They did a great job with the pandemic and all the things. Their social commentary is so on point.
I just want to know what Cartman Plus looks like. That's all I want to know.
We'll probably find out.
Yeah.
That looks great. June 10th is Jurassic World. I'm not a super fan of the Jurassic series. They've kind of waxed and waned a bit. Yeah. But
get very samey.
This one looks interesting. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of those in the flavor of they're bringing back a lot of the original Jurassic Park 1 actors or reprising roles. I like that trend, seeing older actors reprise their roles later in life. I think it's neat, so I'm going to see that. And what I'm most excited about looking forward to is something I pre-ordered over a year ago, the A500 Mini, the tiny Amiga 500. Oh, they put out, just like they did the tiny Nintendo and the tiny Sega and all those things, Commodore 64, they did one for the Amiga, and it's a little box that has a bunch of games packed on it, has a mouse that looks like an old Amiga mouse, but plus it's running Amiga emulation, so you can add your own stuff to it. I can't wait to play with this. Not that I couldn't play emulated Amiga stuff now, but this little toy has just rekindled my memories of Amiga. I know George just dug a bunch of Amiga stuff out of his closet that he forgot he had, and it's Amiga time for me. So that's supposed to arrive estimated June 1st, but shortly, within a few days of this, I should have it.
Okay, so soon. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, so I'm looking forward to that. A lot of stuff on the horizon. Before we exit this show, I do want to take just a second to tell you guys, remember we did the special fourth listener feedback episode all about the 80s movie soundtracks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things in there, we had fourth listener Marcus. He gave us a one penny penalty. Yeah, yeah. He was so upset with us.
I think there wasn't us. I think it was you. He gave you the tax.
I was trying to deflect, but it was mostly me he was upset with. We did say, please reconsider. I'm happy to tell you that Marcus has reconsidered that one penny penalty, and he not only returned his Patreon pledge back to $35, but he pushed it all the way up to an unprecedented $50.01.
Wow.
Making him now our top Patreon contributor by 1 cent above anyone else. Amazing, Marcus. We're blown away by your continual support. Thank you so much. Not only did we get the penny back, we got a promotion. So we did our job.
That's cool.
We appreciate you and anyone who chooses to support us financially, whether it be over on Patreon, whether it's over on YouTube as a member, or clicking that little thanks button below any video over there. It all adds up to really keep the gas in the tank for us. So, so grateful for you. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, but next week, as you're well aware, is our backtrack, where we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. It's another movie backtrack. It is again the 40th anniversary of a beloved Gen X film, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
40 years, holy cow.
40 years. We're going to dig into the history of the characters, the talent, the legacy of this film that's now 40 years old. You don't want to miss that one. We hope you'll join us for that. So until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
A fourth listener, it is you. We all three appreciate most of all. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. Watching shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be
french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Well, I probably shouldn't say tease that we're going to Stranger Things, should I?
Well, it's funny because we think we are. Should
I? Leave it.
Just you know what? Fuck them. Let them show up and find out we didn't do it. That's fine. What are you going to sue us? That's fine.
Sue us.
All right. In five.
We'll do it next time.
Three.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.